Our topic right now is mobilizing biblical voters. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Dran Reese, who's the founder and president of the Salt and Light Council. Their website is bravesalt.org. Dran, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, first question is this, and I know there's some old statistics that say that there are actually evangelical Christians who are not even registered to vote. There are old statistics that say that Christians don't vote, and when they do vote, they don't vote their biblical values. It's my understanding there has been some positive movement in terms of those statistics, but what say you?
Well, I would say that there's positive movement, certainly that the body of Christ is waking up, but as far as getting out there to vote, it's challenging still in the church itself because, as you know, we suffered through this COVID crisis where the church was basically shut down. So we've lost a third of the church to that complete shutdown. And so the statistics are still very, very alarming. And George Barna will attest to that as well. You know, years ago, he used to talk about us being at a 9% biblical worldview, but we're now reduced to a 6%. So the point is that the church and what's left of the church, they are amazing, they're strong, they're bold, they're tenacious, and they mean business. So whoever is still in the church is getting out to vote.
You know, it's interesting. I write a weekly column, and I happened to notice on a Christian website one of the postings where they you know, put up my column, and it was about voting, and it was about some of these laws, for example, the Texas and Georgia laws, where after the 2020 elections, with all of the irregularities and all the big question marks, basically I said we need to make it free to vote and easy to vote, but hard to cheat. And that's not an original line with me. And I was surprised to actually see remarks in, you know, below my posting, you know, oh, I can't believe that some Christian would actually question the results of the 2020 election. And, you know, if we say that, you know, there was any cheating in the 2020 election, what credibility will we have to the world when we say that Jesus rose from the dead, which, of course, Jesus did rise from the dead. But, I mean, I was just shocked. It's like, oh, my goodness, are we, you know, in the body of Christ, are we basically willing to let, you know, people lie about the elections that, you know, especially as we go forward, we've got to get this thing right. We have to have integrity in our voting.
Jerry, this was a very difficult time for America, this last election. We do know that there is fraud in our elections. And I can tell you, living out here in California, we have a group called the Election Integrity Project California. They've also expanded into Nevada and Arizona and are now being, you know, going nationwide with their program to train poll observers. But they have documented over 4,000 incidents of irregularities in the voting system, from ballot harvesting, which is called chain of custody. Once you get the ballot, once you vote, where does your ballot go from there? So if you are not physically voting in a polling location and then, or turning it to your local registrar of voters, you have to count how many hands touch that vote. So in today's age, now that we know that there is a faction of outside organizations that are trying to manipulate the elections, and they really are, and it shocks me that there are Christians that don't know our system well enough to understand that this is the reason why we escaped Britain, is because of all of these different types of tyrannical, you know, ways in which the government was trying to manipulate the people. It's happening here in America, and we better wake up, and we better get out there and get involved in being part of the election process by watching the polls, by being involved and insisting that we have fair and free elections.
You would think that virtually all Americans of goodwill, including, you know, professing Christians and so forth, would agree with the point that elections should be fair, they should be honest, they should reflect the will of the people. There should be no cheating. And that ballot harvesting that you're talking about, that's like taking absentee ballots, which are good. And they have a place, you know, for like for the soldiers on the field and that kind of scenario. But taking that and then abusing that and making, you know, universal mail-in ballots where there's all kinds of opportunity for fraud.
Well, we have a few movies that have come out about this election fraud and ballot harvesting where cameras were actually on people that were really, they were pulling out the ballots from these ballot boxes that are set up for you to just drop off your ballot. I mean, how safe is that? You have like a post office box that's bolted to the ground. You throw your ballots in and somebody comes in and collects it like the postman. But who is that person? Who is that authorized person to collect those ballots? And then they take those ballots and here again, the chain of custody in the wrong hands. Many of those ballots wound up in the trash, were found in the back of people's cars. There are so many incidents like this all over the country. And for people to believe that our elections cannot be manipulated is just being foolish in your thinking. We are the watchdogs of America, and all of us have to fight for freedom. One of my favorite quotes is from Coretta Scott King, who said, freedom is never really won. You win it and earn it in every generation, and we're having to earn it again in our generation. And what that means is we have to be the watchdogs on the people who seek to do evil. So we have countries from between Russia and China and, radical Islamists, they're all trying to take over America. And the Christians here better start waking up and live by the motto, number one, in God we trust, but number two, we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we better wake up and be brave. And that's one of the reasons why we started this website, Brave Salt, because we want to sprinkle brave salt on America. Do you need smelling salt? How much more smelling salt do you need to wake up out of your coma and get involved in maintaining and doing your part to preserve this precious, beautiful country that the Lord has made? We're about to lose our country because people are asleep at the switch, expecting someone else to fix it and not doing the job that they are destined and ordained to do as the watchman on the wall for our country.
David Barton said that if Christians showed up and voted their biblical values every time, we would win virtually every election. Do you agree with that? And do you want to elaborate further?
I love David Barton. I'm a fan of David Barton, of everything that this man does, and he's 100% right. So to all your Christian brothers and sisters out there, and to the pastors who are listening, it should be in something that is insisted upon inside of the church. And that's one of the reasons that we started biblicalvoter.com as one of the ministries within that suite. When you go to bravesalt.com, you'll see a suite of ministries, one of which is called biblicalvoter.com. Now, why did we call it Biblical Voter? Because we're saying to the church itself, you have to apply your values to voting. We have a litmus test for how we vote for candidates, and that is that we have a hierarchy of issues that are scripturally given to us that allow us to test whether these men should be approved or not. It's very simple. There's only five of them. We call them non-negotiables, and you know what they are, Jerry. Certainly the life issue is the number one, and then, of course, marriage between a man and a woman, and the fact that you get to raise your own kids as parents, and that the right of your own conscience is the tenets of your faith. And then these litmus tests that we apply to candidates helps us to know, and if they're willing to sign on the dotted line, who to vote for. And if they deny it, I can tell you every single time that they've gotten into office just by mouthing words, they have turned on us. So as Christians, we have to believe in the system because we have no other choice. And if we lose the voting rights to where we know that we can put people in office that will uphold our religious freedom, all bets are off and the church will be shut down. So I am actually hoping that I can warn your listeners, now is the time to be brave and get off your blessed assurance and get involved in the elections. Vote in the primaries which are coming up, not just the general election. Get to know the bills and the issues and legislation There are some incredible groups out there. Ours is one of them, bravesalt.com, with our salt and light. You can get a ministry, put it in your church, and you're going to activate everyone in the church. The time is now, Jerry. We don't have that much time left. America is being indoctrinated, taken over by outside factions that do not belong in this blessed nation, and we pray that God will give us mercy and give us the courage to, you know, to be strong and not afraid and stand against the devil's wily ways and schemes.
Now, okay, a moment ago you were talking about five non-negotiables. I heard life, I heard the definition of marriage, and I also heard essentially religious liberty, which is what America was all about. I mean, that's why we were even founded. What were non-negotiables 4 and 5, just briefly?
Sure, that would be, first of all, life, you know, pro-life
right.
position, marriage between a man and a woman,
right,
that God has made, the third one is that God has made us male and female.
Oh, okay, so a variation of the gender.
Right.
Okay, the gender, all right, go on.
Right, right. Then, of course, religious liberty, and finally, Israel, support of Israel, that we stand firm on that and we do not withdraw our support of Israel and pray for them every day and for their peace.
And now I want to add something about abortion, and that is this, that if you really look at how a politician stands or where they stand on the issue of abortion, you will see. I mean, this, I feel like this is a no-brainer almost when you actually look at it. And some people may be surprised at this, but the people, the politicians who are consistently pro-life, they tend to get everything else right, even little details about finances and so forth. But the politician who gets the life issue wrong and are willing to kill little babies in their mother's wombs, they get all the big issues wrong too, and all the little issues wrong too. I mean, the correlation is like, it's just so clear. It's amazing.
You're 100% right. You know, if you can love life, or you find it expendable, then everything else is expendable. Your money is expendable. Your future is expendable. They can tax you. They can do anything they want to you. And truly, if you look at the difference between the Democrat and the Republican Party, it is very clear that one of the parties stands very firm on the issue of life, and that is the Republican Party. The Democrat Party, for a very long time, for in fact, its history has taken a pro-abortion stand. And it amazes me. I go to these pro-life events, and you know, we bring our voter table there, you know, to sign people up to register to vote. And I will ask people as they're walking by, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And if they say Republican, I let them go, because they may or may not know that the platforms of the Republican Party clearly state that they take a pro-life position. But if they say Democrat, I say to them, so then why are you here at a pro-life rally? You know that the Democrats are willing to rip babies from the womb limb by limb and celebrate this and applaud abortion. Why are you even here? And they say to me every single time, I didn't know that.
Really?
We changed their voter registration immediately. Most of the people that are voting Democrats, and certainly are people of great faith, do not understand the platforms of the Democrat Party.
Wow. Okay, we have 30 seconds left. Again, bravesalt.org. What do you want to say in conclusion? Is it up to the church to mobilize the biblical voters?
Well, Jerry, Charles Finney said, if the very foundations of our nation fall away, the pulpit is responsible. So pastors and men and women of God, get busy, be salt and light, be brave, stand strong, get out there, be on guard, be courageous, and get out there and vote and be involved in elections, because it's our government that's going to make the difference on the laws that you and I live by. And I personally want to live by God's law.
Dran Reese, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.